Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a parish pastor in North Georgia, we lived on an acre and a half of land. I read a lot of Wendell Berry in those days, and I wanted nothing more than to be a little hobby farmer there in North Georgia. We had a little coop of laying hens, and we had an enormous garden which grew sweet potatoes and collard greens. I tried to grow some corn. It grew about knee high, and then it would just die. It was in those days that the economy was kind of faltering, and people were beginning to talk in 2008, 9, 10 about what if the economy collapsed. People were writing speculative things about what if the electrical grid went down because of a terrorist attack. And I thought, you know what? I think we could just live on this acre and a half of land and be just fine if the whole world collapses. My wife often reminded me that with my farming skills, we probably wouldn't make it. In fact, she would go to the grocery store, and with half the money that I was spending trying to grow a garden, she would buy vegetables and all kinds of food to feed our family while I was out spending time in my little delusion. My greatest hope, though, was that I could grow a grapevine. Wouldn't it be cool if I could grow my own grapes and make my own wine all there on my little hobby farm? Well, I tried, and my grapevines ended up nothing but gnarled little vines. In some ways, the scriptures are a story of a gardener and a grapevine. In our text this morning, St. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, refers a little bit, just briefly, ever so briefly, to this story of the gardener and the grapevine. In Colossians 1, verse 10, he tells the Colossians that they are bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit and increasing, bearing fruit and multiplying. Ever heard those words before? In order to understand Paul's reference to the gardener and the grapevine, let me briefly retell the story from the scriptures. In the beginning, that's how the Christian story, the true story, begins, not like a fairy tale once upon a time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there in the beginning was a garden. And after the waters separated and the dry ground appeared, the gardener was there in his garden. And by speaking his word, plants grew up. And he called the plants to bear fruit, and they did. Can you imagine the wine that might have come from one single grapevine growing in Eden? The gardener poured out sunshine on his garden, and it was good. Then he planted birds in the sky and fish in the seas, and he talked to those birds and those fish just like he talked to the grapevines and the plants. He called out to them in blessing, and he gave them a purpose. He said to the birds and the fish, "Be fruitful and increase, fill the waters and the sky." Now, he didn't say to them, like a technical person, "Lay eggs, and there will be lots more birds and fish." No, the creator poet spoke to the birds and fish and said, "Be fruitful." Peru uravu in Hebrew. Peru uravu. Be fruitful and increase. And God's poetic word brought forth, and it flourished. Can't you just see the fish in the seas and the birds in the air swooping and swishing, all full of life? Next, he made all kinds of beasts and bugs, and then he created man. Male and female, he created them, and he talked to them just like he talked to his precious grapevine. Peru uravu, he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, bear fruit, increase. And Adam and Eve, the beasts and the birds, the fish and the foliage, all delighted in the beautiful fruit of the grapevine. And then it stopped. These fruit-bearing and increasing people stopped listening to the life-giving word of their Creator and its life-giving blessing. They turned to another's word and to a fruit which brought death. They cut themselves off from the flourishing garden where the beautiful grapevine stood as an image of fruit-bearing and increasing, and instead were banished to a world of thorns and thistles. Things grew in this new world, but only by the sweat of their brow and with great pain. All they had to keep them going was the promise of a creator that one day the fruit of Adam and Eve would be brought forth and would give birth to a child. And that child would restore everything after a battle with the one who had brought death. Every once in a while, that creative, poetic creator's voice would burst again into creation with a word of blessing. The creator poet showed up to a man named Abram in Genesis 17 and changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations, because of the Creator's blessing. The same blessing that once made that grapevine in Eden so fruitful blessed Abraham so that entire people groups and kings would come forth from him. Against all odds, Abraham and his wife Sarah produced fruit. And so Abraham went in search of a land that would produce much fruit. Well, we could go on for hours, couldn't we, if we recounted all the stories in the Old Testament where fruit was being born and where the Creator showed up to his people to call them to bear fruit and increase. Like the one time where the spies go into the promised land and they carry back a cluster of grapes so large that it had to be draped between the shoulders of two men to carry it out. Talk about fruit-producing land. But I think the prophet Isaiah best sums up the story of the Old Testament. The creator poet returned again and again to his people to bless them, but instead of abundant and life-giving fruit, his people yielded wild grapes. Instead of justice, bloodshed. Instead of righteousness, an outcry. And so the creator poet, who had done so much to preserve and nurture his grapevine and vineyard, instead let it be trampled and destroyed until all that was left of that beautiful and precious grapevine was nothing but a stump. Now, as one who grew some grapevines in North Georgia, I knew what it was like to cut down a grapevine to a stump. The first year, my Cabernet vines had kind of put out all these little wild shoots all over the place, and not a single grape. And so I read in the books, how do I save this grapevine? And they said, you have to cut it down to the stump. So I got my hedge trimmers out, and I cut all of what I perceived to be the life of this thing away. And there was nothing but a gnarled brown little stump there of my grapevine. But miraculously, that next spring, life burst up from this stump and shot out branches onto this trellis, this beautiful trellis that I had produced for it. And it actually came to life. So it was from the stump of Israel, Christ burst forth with his life-giving promise. The Gospels are filled with cries to Israel that they would produce fruit in keeping with repentance. But they did not. Like the children of Adam and Eve, they produced nothing but death. And so, dear brothers and sisters, have we. So have we. They put Christ the vine to death on a gnarled and dead tree. And even then, the blood-red juice poured from his veins to give life to the world. 3 days later, Christ burst forth from the grave full of life, like a grape shoot shooting up as the stump was now filled with new life. The word of Christ's death and resurrection, forgiveness of sins for all the world, that word spread after his resurrection and his ascension. It went out to all the world. Indeed, as St. Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 6, the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, dear Colossians, is bearing fruit and increasing in even among you. That life-giving word, the gospel, had brought life to the Colossians, and it has brought life to us. The gospel is bearing fruit and increasing among us. You have been connected to Christ the vine, and you are now his branches. Just as the creator poet once spoke his word over that vine to be fruitful and increase, not so much a command to a dead and lifeless stump, but a word of blessing for the vine to do exactly what it had been created to do, be fruitful, increase. So St. Paul declares to the Colossians that this is exactly what is happening in their lives. Paul says to the Colossians, you are bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You are connected to Christ, and this is what it looks like to be connected to the vine. No commandment, but a word of blessing to do what you've been made to do. And so you, my brothers and sisters, you are bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You continue to increase in the life-giving knowledge of God in chapel and in classroom. You bear fruit for others as you care for one another in our campus community, as you go out to your fieldwork congregations. And one day, very soon, we will all gather together for the eschatological feast, where we will drink the sweetest wine poured out from Christ, who is our true vine. In his name, amen. We sing our hymn.